Hare Krishna. Sorry, but due to Karma Prabhu, who was scheduled to speak this evening, unexpectedly had to attend to something, so pardon the interruption. I'm going to be speaking tonight. And we'll just open it up and pick a nice verse out, whatever comes to mind here. Okay. We'll read from second chapter, Bhagavad Gita. This chapter is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. Now, this is a very important chapter because in it is a summary understanding of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, we understand, was, although it was only spoken for approximately 30 minutes, in the midst of a gigantic battle that was just about to take place with thousands and thousands of participants. So it's not exactly the greatest setting in one sense. Generally, we like to talk about spiritual subject matters in a more serene setting, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, for instance. Srila Prabhupada was commenting this morning. We were listening to a very nice discourse. On Sunday mornings, we get to listen to a tape given by His Divine Grace. And in it, Srila Prabhupada said that approximately some 45 or 5,000 years ago, there was a conference taking place with a number of sages and saints. And the president of that conference was Suta Goswami. It's very nice how Srila Prabhupada made that interesting comment. Suta Goswami was the president. He was elected by the members of the conference. And that conference took place on the banks of the Ganga in Naimisharanya. And so you can imagine the setting was quite picturesque, with wonderful, can you hear me? With wonderful birds and a flowing river. We all have experience of being along rivers. They're very beautiful and calming. Anyone here, or how many of us have been to the Ganga? Can we ask? There's a handful. We've been to the Ganga. The Ganga is a beautiful river. You can go along anywhere, and it's so serene and beautiful. Just now, for instance, in Mayapur, you can imagine there's boats that are floating across from Sridhar Mayapur to Navadvip. And the setting is just incredible. So that's a perfect setting for this sort of topic, that sort of discussion. The thinking is it's not interrupted by conversation, sounds. It's not interrupted by motor cars or airplanes flying overhead or so many other things, but a very beautiful setting. So you can imagine what sort of scene it must have been on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. There are thousands and thousands of warriors with thousands and thousands of animals and chariots and weapons, and the energy was quite tense. But in the midst of that, Krishna is giving this wonderful comment classic instruction to Arjuna, his friend and disciple. So only the personality of Godhead could give something like that. You can't just sit. And we can barely sit even now, or even in the most quietest and peaceful setting. The mind and body are fidgeting in so many different ways. Can we ask the little one to, maybe you can run around outside until she's exhausted. And then have a little prasadam and get fired up and come back. Only the personality of Godhead could give such knowledge. It has to be coming from God, the absolute truth. There's no other explanation. You can't compare what Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita to anything else. There's no comparison. Any classics or historical writings or diaries or anything that's out there, there's no comparison. Bhagavad Gita is so far beyond these mundane literatures or these so-called spiritual writings. Because it's coming from the absolute truth, Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So it's very special. So every word that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita is very special. And I remember when I first read the Bhagavad Gita some years back, I thought I understood it. But as soon as I had the opportunity to hear the correct explanation given by devotees, it shed a whole new light on what I understood. We're very fortunate that we have Krishna's words here in the Bhagavad Gita. There's no doubt we're very fortunate. But to have the Paramahansas, the liberated souls like Srila Prabhupada, give it to us, it becomes even more relishable. It becomes even more relishable. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, although the Vedic literatures given by Srila Vyasadeva are complete and perfect, when Shukadeva Goswami began to narrate the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of Krishna and his devotees, which are there described in the Bhagavatam, it became even more relishable. So that is the same experience. In the association of Vaishnavas, in the association of devotees of the Lord, it sets a whole new light on what Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. It gives a whole new perspective. And it's much deeper, and it's much more relishable. You can really appreciate the circumstances. You can really appreciate the message. And we can really appreciate what the result is if we take this to heart, if we take what Krishna is giving in Bhagavad Gita to heart. As Krishna says in the 18th chapter, Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Vraja Ahantang Sarva Papebhyo Mokshay Shami Masuchaha. What does that mean? To heart means that if we take what Krishna is giving us, he'll not only relieve us from all of the terrible things that we're having to deal with in this world, that we've dealt with for many lifetimes, because we've been here many, many years, many, many lifetimes. And we may not, of course, remember this. Our memories are so degraded. Very good. So degraded we can't remember what happened last week at this time, or 2 days ago at this time. maybe not even yesterday at this time. So that's a challenge. Or maybe what happened 3 hours ago? What happened to my keys? Or what happened to, where did I lose my wallet? Or so what to speak of the other challenges that are there. So Krishna says that despite all of that, whatever disadvantages are there, and there are many disadvantages, the Bhagavatam explains that our lives are very short. We don't have very much time. Padam padam yavipadam na tejam. At any moment, at any step, it can be over. There's no guarantee. It doesn't matter what doctor you go to, what institute you go to, whatever treatment you're going through, whatever psychological changes you're going through. All these things can end in a flash. In a flash. So there are many disadvantages. Manda sumada matayo manda bhagyo padrita. We're short-lived, our memories are terrible, we're always, above all, we're always very disturbed by so many things. That's why you go into the marketplace and in the stores they have rows and rows of drugs to try and deal with that disturbance, whatever you're disturbed with or disturbed about. But despite all of that, Krishna says that if you surrender unto Him, He removes all of those things and He takes you back to the spiritual world. That's what we're especially interested in. The end result, right? People are interested in results these days. They want results. They want to see what is my business producing? What is my hard work, my hard training? What is my education, what's it going to produce? We're very result-oriented in the world these days. People, and if you're not on it, you're fired. Right? If you don't produce, you're out the door. Go look for another job. So the results have to be there. But Krishna consciousness is in a whole different realm. It's not dependent on material circumstances. It's not even dependent on what abilities you have, whatever things you've accomplished. It all comes down to the moment. What are you going to do about surrendering at this moment? What are you going to do right now? So Krishna says that if you simply surrender unto Him, engage in this process of devotional service, then He'll protect you. He'll take you back to the spiritual world. He will relieve you of all of those things, and your life is perfect. So the words that Krishna is giving in the Bhagavad Gita are so important. And to hear them from the liberated soul, it makes it that much more relishable. So we're going to read from the second chapter. This is a very interesting verse, text number 40. Neha brikkamana ashosti pratyavayo na vidyate svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Krishna says, in this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. Any little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Purport. Activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed. Otherwise, the whole attempt becomes a failure. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at a loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%. Whereas in material activity without 100% success, there is no profit. Ajamil performed his duty in some percentage of Krishna consciousness, but the result he enjoyed at the end was 100% by the grace of the Lord. There is a nice verse in this connection in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Taktvasta Dharma Charanambu Jamharer, Bhajana Paktvota Patet Tato Yati, Yatra Kvavibhadram Ibur Abura Mushakim, Kovarta Apto Bhajatam Sadharamataha. If someone gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, what loss is there on his part? And what can one gain if one performs his material activities perfectly? Or as the Christians say, what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world yet suffers the loss of his eternal soul? Material activities and their results end with the body, but work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. At least one is sure to have a chance in the next life of being born again as a human being, either in the family of a great cultured Brahmana or in a rich aristocratic family that will give one a further chance for elevation. That is the unique quality of work done in Krishna consciousness. So here, this wonderful, wonderful verse, which Krishna is explaining that anything you do in this process of Krishna consciousness, it stays with you forever. There's no loss or diminution. You do 1%, and for some reason it ends, and next time you again take up the process, you start at 2%. There's no loss. It's not like you, like in a bank, you have $10, you take something out, and you have 9 or 5 or nothing. It's not like that in Krishna consciousness. There's no loss. It's not that, I've only been able to come and visit the temple once, or I can only do so much service, or I can, I've only had an opportunity to read one book. It doesn't matter. Whatever you can do in Krishna consciousness is of a supreme benefit, a supreme value. You can't put a number on it. It's so important. It's not like, again, something we do in the material world where people work very hard, and if you don't get that 100%, if you don't get that gold medal, right? Sometimes people, they work throughout their lives. We just had the Olympics. If you don't get that gold medal, nobody remembers you. Who cares? Does anybody remember who was number 2 in the speed skating? No. I don't even remember who was number 1. But nobody remembers who's number 2. So if you don't get that gold medal, then who cares? But Krishna consciousness is not like that. Because Krishna is in the heart. Ishvara sarabhuta anam hridayesha arjuna tishtati. Krishna is situated in the heart and he's our supreme friend. He's such a good friend that no matter what you do, he takes that into account. Even if you do just a tiny bit, all I can do is chant in my house. All I can do is read for 5 minutes, then I have to go to work. I have to take care of this and that. That's okay. Whatever you can do, all I can do is offer my food at least to Krishna. That's okay. There's eternal benefit. There's absolutely no loss. But it's to your eternal benefit. What sort of boss will do that for you? What sort of manager, company manager will do that for you? If you do a teeny little bit for him, he gives you such a, he takes that so seriously in his heart. And Krishna does take that in his heart. He keeps that in his heart. Saranam vidayam mayam, saranam vidayam toham. The Krishna says, the Vedic literatures explain that Krishna is keeping those saintly persons, those persons who engage in some devotional service are saintly. We have to understand that. They're not ordinary people. Anyone who takes up the process of devotional service is not ordinary. Anyone who has the opportunity for performing some devotional service, they're not ordinary people. They're very special people. And Krishna explains that he keeps those individuals in his heart. Sadhanam hridayam mayam. The sadhus are keeping me within their hearts, and I'm always keeping them within my heart. So there's no loss. So activity in Krishna consciousness, or acting on benefit of Krishna without expectation for sense gratification, is the highest transcendental quality of work. It's the highest and most important thing one can do. If we just offer some service to Krishna without expectation. Of course, in the beginning, we're trying to develop our Krishna consciousness, so there may be some mixture. And Krishna explains that. Chaturvida bhajante mam janasakut sukirtanorjuna. There are different types of individuals, different individuals who take up the process of devotional service. That's okay. Whatever your motive is, if you simply direct it toward Krishna, it becomes purified. It becomes of a great value, an eternal benefit to you. Even if you're just pulling weeds, it doesn't matter. Pulling weeds or mixing a preparation, or if you're cleaning a window, or if you're on the altar dressing the deity, Krishna takes all those things equally. They're all equal in his eyes. It's not that one is lesser or better. Certainly, if we offer favorable devotional service, Krishna takes that into account. Just like if somebody does something for you, you appreciate it. But if somebody takes a little extra, puts a little extra heart into it, you take notice. You appreciate that. And you reciprocate accordingly. Krishna explains that also in the Bhagavad Gita. He reciprocates according to your svapam apisadhar. What is that verse? That as you surrender unto me, yeyatam amprabhadyante. As you surrender unto me, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So if you're mixed in your devotional service, then you can be sure that your results are going to be mixed. But if you offer Krishna some seva without expectation, I'm not serving you, Krishna, because I want to win the lotto. Or I'm not serving you, Krishna, so that you'll send me a good husband or a good wife or whatever. No. If that's your intent, then you can be sure it may not come. Or it may come. That's a karmic thing. But if you serve Krishna without intent, janati ashu vairagyam, without any expectation, it has to be free from motive, jnana or karma. We're not interested in those things. The devotee is simply interested in offering Krishna unmotivated devotional service. And if one does that, as Prabhupada points out here, for the benefit of Krishna, it is the highest transcendental quality of work. Even a small beginning of such activity finds no impediment, nor can that small beginning be lost at any stage. It's not lost. Whereas, again, on the material plane, if you only get 1% finished, that's your reward. You get 1%. If you work 10%, you get 10%. But if you work 1% for Krishna, you get 100% return. That's how important a devotional life is. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada quotes a very wonderful verse, that if one gives up his occupational duties and works in Krishna consciousness and then falls down on account of not completing his work, What loss is there on his part? This is also a very important point, that we may work very hard, and what happens if I don't reach the goal of pure Krishna consciousness? It's a very serious consideration. And it should be on our minds. What if at the end of life, I'm still crowded by so many material desires? I'm disturbed by so many material desires. Well, first of all, we have to understand that Krishna takes into account our conditioning. We've been here for many, many lifetimes. Bhavanam, Jamanam, Ante. Brahmanda, Brahmate, Kona, Bhagyavan, Jeev. For so many lifetimes, we've been traveling through so many different species of life and so many different universes. So, all of that is taken into consideration. And Krishna understands that. And if there is a weakness on the part of devotee, Krishna takes that into account as well. Prabhupada makes one very nice comment that if at the end of life I falter in my Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he'll cover for me. That is the unique quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we're going to be discussing next week. The incarnation, the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so special in this day and age. In previous ages, we understand when Krishna appeared, it's you surrender or you're out, right? They didn't surrender to Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So the Kurus and so many others, they were killed. But the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so special that whatever your difficulties may be, if you simply take up this process sincerely, even if it's just at the last moment of life, and Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamil here. Ajamil, excuse me, was a very, he was raised in a very nice Brahmin family, but by bad association, he fell into the association of a prostitute, and he became very degraded. And to the point where, even at the fag end of his life, he was still thinking about his material attachments. And as he was leaving his body, the Yamadutas, who are the messengers of Yamaraj, who is the Lord of Death, they came looking for him and ready to snatch his soul out of his body and take him to the court of Yamaraj where he would be judged. As they were about to do this, he cried out his son's name, Narayan. And Prabhupada points out that the Vedic culture is so nice that the children's names are Krishna conscious, whether they be Govinda or Madhava or Narayan. So simply by calling that name out in a very helpless way, the Vishnu Dutas, who are the messengers of Lord Vishnu, came and rescued him from the clutches of the Yamadutas and took him to Vaikuntha. He was actually given another chance. And then at the end of his life, he was promoted to the spiritual world. But Srila Prabhupada points out here by quoting this verse that even if one is in the most degraded condition, if we simply take shelter of the holy name, especially in this day and age, Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Namara Prachar, Tatai Lagi Pita Varna Chaitanya Avatar, the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so special that simply by taking up this chanting process, everything that we could hope to achieve through karma, jnana, yoga, is achieved automatically. It's so potent. It's so powerful. Simply by chanting this holy name, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Everything is achieved. And the opportunity for going back to the spiritual world is given. The process, path back to Godhead through the process of bhakti yoga, at least that has begun. And with that beginning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very happy. Mahaprabhu bhakta gana vairagya pranan. The life and soul of the Vaishnavas is renunciation. Mahaprabhu bhakta gana vairagya pradan. It's our life and soul. As devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, our lives are all about detaching ourselves from this material world. It's not all about making a comfortable situation here, because there's no such thing. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Yaha deka pritahana gaura bhagavan. And when when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees how we're striving on the path of devotional life, he becomes very happy. Mahaprabhu bhakta gana vairagya pradan. Yaha deka pritahana gaura bhagavan. The Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Bhagavan, he becomes very happy when he sees that we're sincerely trying and serious about making good use of this human form of life. Otherwise, what is the purpose? Everyone's in anxiety. The material world is full of anxiety. People are in such great distress. They're trying to figure out where to go, what to do, who to talk to, how to deal with it. What happened? And they don't have an answer. There's no answer. But the process of Krishna consciousness is so clear. We're not these material bodies. The human form of life is meant for a devotional work. To whatever degree you can perform, as Krishna says here in this verse, just a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. And what is that fear? It's not about, losing something. It's all about having to come back into this material world. And if anybody wants to do that, you don't mind coming back into this world, well, think about it a little bit more. And you'll see it's not such a good deal. Because it means repeated birth and death. And death is a very fearful thing in this world, in this life. It's very fearful. People are very much, they're doing whatever they can to avoid it. Right? Take all the drugs you can, do all of this, that, doctors and exercises and whatever. There's so many different things that we're trying to go through, trying to avoid the inevitable. But that has to come. It has to come, and one has to be prepared for that. So that is the greatest type of fear. That all of this has to end. It all has to wind up at some point. We had just recently a experience with a couple of our devotees in the community who left our association. Certainly, they went back to the shelter of Lord Krishna. But in watching their passing, it was very educational. Very educational. You could see how in the beginning there's a resistance. We don't want to give up. We're very attached. Oh, we can work this out. We can find a solution. We can find a remedy. to prolong this situation, but no. And finally, you could just see it in the faces of these nice devotees, how they were they accepted their fate, and now they're just focused on Krishna consciousness, and they become very beautiful. That's why the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, are so attractive, because they're giving their lives to Krishna, and they become actually very beautiful people. They become very attractive. And even in the mundane world, people can observe that. They can observe how you people are different. I'm not saying me. I'm just saying you. You're very different. Simply because you've taken up the process of devotional service, you become very attractive. And even the mundane persons, they can sense that. And that's, again, that's the benefits of a devotional life. That when one practices the process of bhakti yoga, they become, what is that verse? All the good qualities of the demigods, they develop within that person. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana. Sarvar gunasta samasate sura. Sura means godly. When one takes up the process of devotional life, they become godly and they develop all good godly qualities. They're not interested in gross, nasty activities that go on in a society. People are engaged in so many nasty, gross activities. Just unmentionable. Even the Bhagavatam doesn't even address the killing of animals. It's such a nasty activity. What to speak of what goes on now in the world? People are engaged in so many unmentionable nasty activities, just to try and squeeze some kind of fanatical or illusory pleasure out of this machine, yasyatma buri kuni petri dhaduke. It's just made of bile, mucus, and air. Sadi kaladrisha boma idjadi. Yatirta buri salinena karajij janesh abhigeshu saiva gokara. Those who are interested in this body, which is yasyatma buri kunipe tri dhatu, it's made of three dhatus, bile, mucus, and air. Everyone's focused on it. Everyone is focused on it. The whole material world is focused on it. It revolves around this body and this conception that I am this body, young, old, black, white, Englishman, this one, that one, Hindu, Christian, Prabhupada was saying this morning. And goes to the holy places, or thinks that this land that I've been born in is worshipable. Yatirta buddhi shalidina karjij, who goes to the holy places simply to take bath and not to seek the association of these saintly persons. It's like we don't go to the Ganga just to take bath. Of course, in that sort of a setting, it's an ideal place to take bath. Of course, one has to remain clean. But we don't go to the holy places just to take bath. It's like we don't go to the temple just to hang out. We come to the temple to learn transcendental knowledge, to take good association. So if one goes to such places, who identifies as his kin, as part of him, who considers his land of birth as worshipable, who goes to the holy places just to take bath and not seek the association of the liberated souls, janesha bhigeshu saiva gokara, they're considered no better than a cow or an ass. It's harsh words, but it's a fact. Those are the words of the Bhagavatam. So to go to the holy places or to live in the association of saintly persons or have the opportunity for that association and not take advantage of it, it's not very good. Not a good idea. It's a great loss. It's a great loss, Chanakya Pandit says. Even you squander one moment, you can't buy it back. Well, you know, I'll make it up next week. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen next week. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So how can we think like that? Well, I've got a lot of time. You don't. Oh, well, I'm not old enough. Well, what does old mean? Well, generally we associate old age with death. But death can come at any moment. So who is old and who's young? We don't know. You can be 8 years old and you're dead. Does that mean you're old? No. So we don't have a time to squander. And we shouldn't squander the opportunity for taking up spiritual life in this human form of life. It doesn't make sense. It's not a good idea. Therefore, whatever devotional service we can perform, even a tiny bit, whatever it is, a chant in your home, offer something to Krishna in your home, come and see the deities, read Krishna's words. There's no loss, and it will free one from the most dangerous thing, and that is repetition of birth and death, coming back into this material world. And that's not a good idea, because you don't know what will happen next. We may be living like this now, but in the next lifetime, it may be maybe not so fortunate. So, we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Criticisms? Yes. Bhakti yogi means bhakti. Bhakti only applies to Krishna. It doesn't apply to Vishnu, Ganesh. I'm sorry, Shiva, Ganesh, Durga, Kali, Brahma, or this one or that one. Now, bhakti means Vishnu. Bhakti yoga means one who's offering service to Krishna. And to whatever capacity you can offer it. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam. There's so many different ways that you can engage in Krishna's service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, offering something, associating. Offer a prayer. Krishna can hear you. He's a person. And when you go before the deities, you can speak to him. That's not revolutionary. It's a fact. You can speak to him and he'll listen. So a bhakti yogi means one who's engaging in favorable devotional service to Krishna. And whatever you can do, it has to be, but it should be favorable. That makes sense? Well, jnana, again, you're mixing. You have a different motive there. You're interested in some jnana, knowledge, philosophical awareness, or you're trying to become liberated from the bodily concept of life. The jnanis are also transcendentalists. They're freed from the bodily concept of life. Doesn't mean that they've developed bhakti or love for God. So jnana karma dena avritam. We're freed from karma. Karma means that, you know, Krishna, I want to, I'll offer some bananas to you, make sure that, you know, I get a raise. Remember those bananas I offered to you? Remember that time? No. Again, I'm interested in just becoming some scholar, and I can chant all these shlokas very nice, and people appreciate it, and I'm no longer concerned with the bodily concept of life. But unless the intelligence has become completely purified, there's every chance of falling back down. And only bhakti offers that. Only bhakti offers purifying the mind, senses, the intelligence. Only the process of bhakti can do that. So that's why we want to become bhakti yogis. We're not interested in jnani yogis or karmi yogis or hatha yogis and this one and that one. It's such simple logic. Just like you're building a doorway. If you don't put a header there, you can look really nice, but at some point, it's going to come crashing down because you haven't evenly distributed the weight. It's so practical. Krishna consciousness is so practical. If you don't, in the material world, if you don't do something absolutely perfect, it's a total loss. In other ages, also Krishna had to deal with. In Satyuga, Treta, Dwapara, he dealt like that. But in the Kali Yuga, also in the form of Kalki avatar. But the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so unique. It's the most merciful incarnation of the Lord. Chaitanya doesn't have to come and swing a sword or pull out a chakra. Or he doesn't have to throw somebody. He simply comes and delivers prema bhakti, which is so powerful that even the most fallen can be rectified. He's so merciful. So the difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the other avatars, all the other incarnations of Krishna, they're all the same, certainly, they're all Krishna, so they're absolute in potency. But the difference is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes with a different set of weapons. He comes with the holy name. He comes with kartals and drums. He comes to deliver, especially in difficult circumstances. in most difficult circumstances. That's what, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is unique for that. Because in previous ages, there was a bit more Krishna consciousness, spirituality, and satya, treta, dvapara gradually diminishes. In Kali Yuga, there's practically no religiosity. Very small a portion of the population is interested. So it takes a very special appearance of the Lord to help in such a situation. Can we just imagine how Krishna is so kind that even though the circumstances are so hellish, he comes in such a merciful way. We can't calculate how badly Krishna wants us in the spiritual world, that he'll come in such circumstances and humbly ask everyone simply chant the holy name, simply engage in devotional life. You can't. What sort of personality would do that? It's we have no experience. It has to be God Himself. In the most difficult age, He comes in the most merciful way. It's very unique. So the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very special, beyond any other form of the Lord. Because of that, He's making Krishna consciousness available for the most unqualified persons. It's very special. Wow. Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you very much. We hope to see you next week. Hare Krishna.